and modern vessels that are being built that are seaworthy. God, in his divine wisdom, knew what it would take when he would send those waters from heaven. When God would bring this great flood upon the earth, God knew exactly what would be necessary to save Noah, and it was an ark. And the very same waters that brought destruction brought salvation to Noah, because he built an ark and he brought all the things that God had commanded him to inside of that ark, and they were saved by and or through water. Now, let me ask you the first question. Do you believe there was water then? Do you believe that this was a legitimate flood? Do you believe there was waters? Do you believe that ark floated? Do you believe that God used water, as he said both in Genesis 6 and in 1 Peter chapter 3, that water was used in both of these instances? And if your answer to that is yes, then may I ask a secondary question? Would you not also then believe that it would have been silly for Noah to say, well, I don't think I really need to build an ark. Why could I not create some other structure? Why could I not create some other vessel? Why could I not do something different than that which God has provided? And you'd say, preacher, that would be silly on the part of Noah. God is offering him salvation from the destruction. God is offering him hope. God is offering him a means by which to be saved from this great destruction of flood that is coming. And it would be absolutely ridiculous for Noah to consider any other plan than what God has given him, right? Noah should trust in God. And he did, and he was saved. Let me share another example with you. I want you to go into 2 Kings chapter 5. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we're introduced to a fellow by the name of Naaman. In 2 Kings chapter 5, we're introduced to a fellow by the name of Naaman, and Naaman is inflicted with the debilitating disease known as leprosy. And I can only imagine the devastation that it was bringing to him and the challenge that it presented to this man. And he hears about a prophet. He's told by a maiden that serves him that there's a prophet back in her land that would be able to help him with this leprosy if he would but send for him, and that he might be able to find remedy to the challenge of leprosy. Pick up in verse 9. Then Naaman, 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 9. Then Naaman went with his horses and chariot, and he stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. Question, do you believe there was water in the Jordan River? Now, I'm not trying to insult you. I'm as sincere as I can be. Do we agree? Do we agree tonight that there was water in the Jordan River? And I believe all of us would say yes. He was told to go and wash in the waters of the Jordan River. Do that 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean. But Naaman, get this, Naaman became furious and went away and said, indeed, I said to myself, he will surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave the hand over the place and heal the leprosy. Naaman here, I believe, is being quite ridiculous, isn't he? He is debilitated by the disease of leprosy, and he has been offered an opportunity to go and dip 7 times in the River Jordan, and he is furious because how dare the prophet, number one, not come down and honor me by his own presence, just send messengers down here to tell me this message, and secondly, the audacity to think that he would even set foot in such a filthy place like the Jordan River. And you and I would say, what is wrong with Naaman? What is wrong with him? He has been offered a tremendous gift, a salvation from the leprosy that is so harming him, and he is acting not wisely in relationship to this offer. I don't know what Naaman expected. I'm careful around these parts to say what I'm about to say, but I expected him to come out, Naaman does, and say, be healed, and the leprosy would be gone. I don't know what Naaman wanted. I don't know what he expected, but he has been offered a simple answer. And rather than follow it, he gets mad. Verse 12. He says, are not the Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? There's your water, by the way. Could I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. His servants came near and spoke to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do something great, would you not have done it? How much more then when he says it to you, wash and be clean? You know, I love these servants because they come to Naaman and say, Naaman, you were probably prepared to do a far lot more than just go dip seven times in the Jordan River. We imagine, and you think about these servants and the things that they might have brought with them. In fact, if you fast forward, I don't have time to deal with all of the story, but you know they have possessions by which to offer in order for the offer that Elisha brings, which he turns down. Later, somebody else takes. But I want you to simply appreciate the fact here that his servants are very wise. They said, you would have done great things. Why not do a simple thing? You would have done tremendous things. You would have done anything we thought when you got here. You've been asked to do a simple thing, and you're rejecting that concept. And so finally, he goes down, verse 14, and dipped seven times in the Jordan according to the saying of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Can I simply ask you tonight, at what moment would you consider Naaman wise? Did you consider Naaman wise when he is furious and angry and goes away in a rage because he had quite a different thought process about what God might require of him in order to receive cleansing of this leprosy? Was Naaman being a wise person when he is angry and furious because how dare they think that I'm ever going to dip in that Jordan River? Abana